This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Our show originates from Investar Tower in Baton Rouge. And before we get to Coach Sid Edwards, who's in the house, candidate for mayor, Tropical Storm Francine, which developed in the Gulf of Mexico yesterday, is expected to strengthen into a hurricane today and make landfall tomorrow over our state. Francine is anticipated to be just offshore of the coast of northeastern Mexico and southern Texas throughout today. That's from the National Hurricane Center, make landfall tomorrow, and will likely become a Category 2. It's expected to bring rainfall of up to 8 inches, with local amounts perhaps getting up to a foot across much of Louisiana and Mississippi through Friday morning. So we should be prepared. It's not a Category 5 or 4, but Governor Jeff Landry has declared a state of emergency, and we should, of course, be watchful and mindful and careful. And your number is 877-217-5757. Emails to talk at talklouisiana.org. Sid Edwards, coach at Estruma, longtime coach in Baton Rouge, one of the most successful coaches in the history of this city, and he grew up here in North Baton Rouge. Redemptorist 1981, right?
That's correct.
You must have gone to school with Howard High C. Carter, who works right across the hall from us.
Howard and his gang was the reason I never could make the basketball team at Redemptorist. Yes.
They were pretty good. Rick Huckabee.
Oh, you keep going. Those are legends.
Yeah.
I coached Howard's sister, Katora, who ended up being a college volleyball player.
Well, you have this amazing record as a coach, both as an assistant and as a head coach, and he, our guest, Coach Edwards, is still coaching. He is the head coach at Estruma. You got the political bug. What in the world happened?
Well, I was living in Central for 10 years, and, you know, small town, and it was growing and by leaps and bounds. And I was approached when I was over there coaching at Central High School about particularly running, you know, for mayor out there. And at the time, I immediately dismissed it. No, I do what I do. I am who I am. But I kept following. Well, I have two autistic sons, and we moved to Baton Rouge just for their medical and to be closer, you know, to the help we got. And although we were in the parish, you know, until I got back over on this side and started paying more attention and seeing what was going on locally and everything. And I told my wife when we moved back in 2016, I told her, I said, look, all this running for office, I said, that might be a thing. I said, it might be something, you know, we look at eventually. But I was thinking about doing it in Central. So, my dear, if that happens, we have to head back that way. I can't live, you know, in Tara and be the mayor of Central or run for office out there. And I kept thinking about it. Well, I became really apolitical. I just decided I was going to do what I do, and that is minister to young people, try to save lives and dive into that, because just paying more attention, more awake with everything. And I just started looking lies and corruption and bureaucracy. And I'm just like, wow, you know, like my wife's a teacher, we're lifelong educators, and, you know, governmentally, oh, teachers are going to get this pay raise. This is going to, it never happens. Same with the police, you know, never, you know, none of that ever happens. Well, a catalyst was going to Estruma High School in a 70805. So I go to work there, and I thought I knew, Mr. Inkster. I thought I knew because I was from there. I still did work there, even though I wasn't, you know, employed in that area. But I didn't know till I got there. I didn't know the despair, the blight, the hopelessness. But I think a catalyst that got me moving. I have a young man that played for me at Estruma. He was a freshman last year, 14 years old, started him at cornerback. And you know, that's tough to do in 4A football.
Yeah.
22 ACT, which is very high, you know, for our kids.
At 14.
And, yes, at 14. 4.0 student. And on New Year's Day this year, him and four buddies were walking down Evangeline Street, and they were gunned down. And my guy died, I saw that bright future. And I'd like to say, you know, oh, that jolted me. But that was a part. But you see, a lot of people don't hear it. That might be happening while we're speaking right now on the radio. It's the sounds of North Baton Rouge. And it shook me to my core. I know until you feel it, you can read about it and hear about it, but until you feel it. And so I'm not going to put on there that why am I foraying into this? You know, what is that one instance? But it was a catalyst. And that's pretty much it. I decided another thing I had to do. I'm a football coach, right? So I had to find out, can I do this job? So then I started studying. And the answer is absolutely yes.
877-217-5757. And we do want to note that we lost a city leader yesterday in Mary Olive Pearson, who died at the age of 80. And what a remarkable 8 decades she had. And she was a guest sitting in the same seat Coach Edwards is more than a few times on our show. And we will miss her immensely, but quite a force of nature, Mary Olive Pearson. But Sid Edwards is a force of nature, and he's been in coaching and a legend in those ranks, but he's gotten the political bug. And he said at some point in recent vintage, he became apolitical, and then he lost one of his student athletes to gunfire. And that propelled him into this race. Now, in the latest BRAC poll, he's tied for second with Ted James, 23%. He is the Republican. Coach Edwards is the Republican nominee or endorsed candidate in this race. And Mayor Brooms at 29% and Steve Myers at 3%. There was going to be a debate tonight, but I think the weather has postponed that.
Yeah, I was disappointed. I was looking forward to it. Of course, I've been in debates, but not political debates, nothing like this. We get in a debate every day at coaches' meetings. But, yeah, we got the call yesterday, of course, the right call. Let's just hold up. And I think they're looking somewhere in early October to do it again.
Well, what are the skills from coaching that you feel are transferable to the mayor's office?
Well, by nature, if I'm self-describing myself, I'm a healer. Turnaround specialist. And I think the big deal is the people skills, because you know what, I feel I am the candidate for the people. And it's organization. You know, I never want to lower the deal on the mayor's office or anything, but as a coach, I have to hire an OC. Mm-hmm. Because honestly, my OC knows more offense.
Offensive coordinator.
Yes, offensive coordinator. They know more than I know about offense. A defensive coordinator, a special teams coordinator, a weight room guy, the fundraiser, and all those things. So I think in city parish government, you have to do the same things as well.
Have you decided who your offensive coordinator will be if you're elected mayor?
I have not, but just recently I got asked that question in another venue just 5 days ago. So that's where the thinking cap has went. Because, Mr. Inks, let's look at it. Let's say 5 weeks ago, what are my chances? So walking in, I didn't have my team built. Mm-hmm. But now that this thing is growing legs, it's time. You know, if I'm not mistaken, the runoff is in December 7th. Correct. And it's like 6 weeks, right? And then the game starts. It's game time.
Well, we're getting close. 56 days. I think that's 8 weeks away from the election, but we're getting real close. And then right after that is the December runoff, and they're almost certainly will be a runoff. And based on that poll, it could be a runoff between you and Mayor Broom, you and Ted James, or Ted James and Mayor Broom. You're locked pretty close together. And so a lot can happen in the next 8 weeks. And I'm sure you're getting familiar with issues. But what do you view as the principal challenges for our community?
100% crime. It's really, let me tell you what I did, like preparing for the debate. I didn't prepare like the two presidential candidates did, of course, but I did some research. And so I watched a 2020 debate for the mayor's race. I think there were seven in this particular one I watched. And this is like a rerun, right? I mean, if we were going to debate tomorrow evening, the issues are exactly the same. I think minus, you know, the coronavirus. And it was a settlement with Mr. Alton Sterling and that, it's the same deal. But crime is the number one thing. I think unless that is addressed and fixed, how the others, they matter, but they don't matter, and you're not going to be able to tell
them. How much can a mayor do about crime?
I think an awful lot. I can tell you, I have boots on the ground in North Baton Rouge. I'm 10 toes in wherever I go. I'm on the street. And, you know, the fix to crime is certainly multi-layered. It's not a one thing can fix it, but you've got to start with the police department. You know, I'm being told 100 officers short. Sheriff Sid Gotro and those guys, they're short too. And whatever happens, you have to have more law enforcement officers. A new parish prison jail has to be addressed. It's one of the other layers. And then...
Well, hold tight. We do have to take an 89.3-second break, and we'll return for another segment with Mayor Candidate Sid Edwards on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. You're listening to Talk Louisiana, and we're privileged to have in the house, as we prepare for a hurricane, Emil Sid Edwards, coach at Estruma, graduate of Redemptorist, and a legend at several high schools in East Baton Rouge Parish. A record, you know the number of wins you have, coach?
Normally, I would not, but I only do because it was written in an article. 195, I think, is correct, and because they're making a deal out of it, like the chase for 200. Coach Sid ain't chasing nothing. So every win was in boys, you know, and those assistant coaches.
195.
Yes, sir.
No, Charlie McClendon is the all-time winningest coach at LSU with 137 wins. Nobody else is even close. And you got 195. That's a lot of wins.
Well, you know, the longer you do it, you know, if you coach long enough, they'll pile up.
Well, you've got a few losses, too.
I remember every one of them.
But you've survived, and that's telling. And of course, you've gotten to know a lot of young people. And it was the loss of one of your young athletes that propelled you into this race, you say, and I believe you. What was the young man's name?
I'd rather not say on air for the family, you know, family reasons.
All right. 877-217-5757 for Sid Edwards, if you'd like to get in under the wire with him. Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Jim. And I would just like to notice not all the gambling, sports gambling, and now that gambling is like the one of the biggest things in I think influencing sports right now. What do you think of that? You think that's a good thing?
All right. I don't know that you can do much about sports gambling as a mayor of Baton Rouge, but it is crazy. You can bet on every play, and I'm told that there's more money now flowing into sports gambling than there is the stock market. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a different game now. I mean, all the way back to the NIL deals and everything going on and all the betting and everything going. And, you know, I pray it don't hit the high school level. You do know that people bet on high school games.
Of course they do.
It's out there.
But do you ever wager on like a college game or a pro game?
I have before. I think right when it first started, you know, when it became legal. And it makes them much more interested, you know, in the game, a lot more interest. And but it didn't for me, because I love the game anyway. So, my $5 is important. So I'm not risking it.
Well, you have logged a life with young people, and that kind of keeps you young. I can tell you're an effervescent guy in good shape. You look like a leader of men, shall we say. So I think that's important for a coach.
I do, and I try. That's for sure, and I try to lead by example. Not always physically now. Look, you know, underneath the cover there, you know, there's still some, you know, little soft spots, you know, but I try at least, you know, from the mental and character side of it.
Well, I suspect you'll have to give up your day job if you become mayor. You won't be coaching Estruma, will you?
Well, it would be impossible. I'm coaching Estruma right now while campaigning, which is insane, because my commitment to them boys over there on 38th Street. I've got to be there. But when I become mayor, that would be it.
That's the high school that produced William Abb, Billy Cannon, and he grew up in North Baton Rouge, as did you. When you were growing up in North Baton Rouge in the 70s, I guess 60s and 70s, what was it like?
It was tremendous. I visited my street I grew up on, Cannon Street.
Cannon Street, appropriately.
Yeah, how about that? I visited there Sunday, and actually my next-door neighbor still lives there, 96 years old, and I went back, you know, and rode through the neighborhood. I'm in North Baton Rouge every day, but wanted to go down and see what was going on down old Cannon Street. But it, Jim, it was the best of everything. Tremendous place to grow up, blue collar community out there, and we had it all. We had everything.
877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org. And a listener asks, for whom will you support in the presidential election? You're a Republican, I think I know.
But yes, Donald J. Trump.
You like him?
I do. I think here again, remember at the beginning of this thing, I said I became apolitical, right? And following everything and everything that has went on, former President Trump at this point gets my vote.
Now, you have been accused of not voting that often of recent vintage, and you've, by your own admission, been apolitical, but
right.
That, of course, will be used against you. How do you answer those who say that's a concern?
I certainly understand it being a concern. And to be specific, I haven't voted in 7.5 years, is I think what it is, and became apolitical. It's just like I said, I just got disgusted with like watching that debate from 20. It was a whole lot of rhetoric, and then debate ended, and then nothing has been done. And I see it on almost every level of government, of politics. Now, I will say this. I have now came to the realization that, I was 53 when I made that decision, but I came to the realization that was the wrong decision. I wasn't right about that. I always try in my life to do things that help.
Mm-hmm.
Well, by electing not to vote and not getting involved, it didn't help. But I've made a new decision, and the new decision is to become the mayor of East Baton Rouge Parish and to run for office and try to make a real difference.
All right. Bill Huey asks about the support of the business community, and of course, Ted James is getting some of that, some would say surprisingly. Is that an obstacle for you? Usually the Republican gets the lion's share of that.
Well, I think what happened, Mr. James's role, in the legislature and working in the Biden administration and for, Vice President Harris and all that, he's kind of got a leg up on me, right? He's lifetime been in this business, and he started in February. He's built a pretty good war chest. I asked him to, if he'd mind donating to my campaign, and he declined. But he's built up a pretty good war chest, and he's been out there working. We qualified July 19th. So I really believe this. I believe that business community, they're going to come around. I think they're going to be okay. So I'm not viewing it as an obstacle at this point.
877-217-5757, MUSA on Old Hammond. You're on with Coach Sid Edwards. Good morning. Good. Turn your radio down, please.
Okay. All right.
All right. You ready?
Good morning, Mr. Jim and everybody. I just got a quick question for Coach Sid. Thank you, Jim, for really airing everything out, making it clear for everybody. But my question is, how does Woody Jenkins factor into support for you, Mr. Sid? And you say you're going to vote for Trump. How do you think about the what do you think about the January 6th act?
All right. Well, Jenkins and January 6th. Woody Jenkins is obviously supporting you.
Right.
You answer whether he'll be active in your administration. I think that's what MUSA was relating to.
Right. Well, we certainly hasn't went that far. Woody's a dear friend of mine. I've been knowing him for 25 years, big supporter of my coaching career. I've leaned on him for some advice in this thing. I talk to him, and now my team, I have a team.
He loves his Estruma High, too.
He loves some Estruma. But in terms of, you know, a role in it. No, we haven't. I mean, there's been no discussion about that.
He won't be your OC?
No, he's not going to be my OC, RDC. But, yeah, he's been a ear that I've, you know, leaned on. And
well, he's a deft political mind, no doubt. But
right
now, coaching, you know, you're into order, and we had a lot of chaos on January 6th.
Right.
You're a backer of or the former president, but some believe he's responsible for that. Your thoughts?
Well, I don't think directly. Let's look at human nature. Okay, Donald Trump is. You know, he can be a polarizing figure, right? I mean, he's something else, but it's no different. I'll give an example. You know, if you're coaching football, and this happens, we're always here's the danger. I'm coaching men that are very
okay.
Passionate.
Hold that thought. Yeah. I think we're going to hear some pearls of wisdom from Coach Edwards. We'll return with him and Mary Patricia Ray. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, Robin Dow producing. And in a few, we'll hear from Mary Patricia Ray previewing tonight's presidential candidate debate. But we're finishing up with Coach Sid Edwards, candidate for mayor. The election is 8 weeks away. We've learned a few things about the coach and a few other inquiries from listeners. How many state titles? You as an assistant, I know you really... got a few, and you've done well as a head coach as well.
As a head coach, blessed to have won two in football and one in basketball.
Two in football and one in basketball. Now, there aren't many people who've done that.
Well, you know what? Really good kids, really good players. We actually, the football and basketball one came within the same school year, which was unique. And it was funny because of the basketball players, mind you, I had 11, and 9 of them played football. So
really,
yeah, the same kids.
But usually basketball players who played football are football players. But
that's right.
But obviously they did well, and I suspect the coach had a lot to do with that. Another listener, good question. How did the two autistic children shape your life?
It everything. I'm a better man and a better leader. Because of them. I mean, you know, we were on a plane, my wife and I, you know, this is just a story. I went on a plane and we think we're going to Italy. And the pilot keeps coming on. He keeps saying, we're about to land in Sweden. And we're like, and the analogy of the deal is we ended up in Sweden. We thought we were going to Italy like every other American family, but we ended up somewhere else. And if I would get busy about how it could be, I would miss all the beautiful things in Sweden. And so, you know, I got to credit my wife and my two autistic sons have an older brother and sister, and it's a strong family unit. They've helped raise them. But I can tell you, those two boys, without them, they'll never know that they've shaped my life and my coaching career.
Do they live at home?
They do. They will always be with us, yes.
Well, that's between your coaching, running for mayor and two autistic children, you've got your hands full.
I do. Jim, I had a head full of hair just like you till autism rolled around, and now I'm clean. You know, ain't got nothing. But it is. It's exhilarating, but hectic all at the same time.
Well, you're a man of immense character, and Billy Gibson notes that in his email, saying here's this man of character, teaching character, but voting for Donald Trump. He's interesting. Trump is a cultivated taste, but you give him the benefit of the doubt. We were talking about January 6th when we hit the break, but I think you see the good in people. But some people, of course, think he's no Sid Edwards. Your thoughts about his character or lack thereof, depending on your point of view.
Well, I think let's look where we're at right now. We have two choices, you know, President Trump and Vice President Harris, and I think. No, my overall view is in leadership. When we're looking to lead the country, you know, his last term, you know, a lot of things he's done that I'm in agreement with, and I think he did a really great job. So, you know, as far as the personality of the president, the character of the president, certainly it's very, very important. But, you know, if I'm looking to lead our country and results-driven and confidence, that that's who I go with. You know, who knows if you, if we'd have 10 Republicans at some point, you did 10 Republicans and 10 Democrats to choose from. Who knows? But right. You know, I answered a question. That's there you go. That's the guy.
B.B. Morales writes, if you went to school with Howard Carter, you also went to school with Moon Griffon. Is Moon supporting you?
Well, Moon and I have not talked. You know, Moon originally was from Plaquemine. He was a Green Devil.
And his name was Blaine Griffin, and he became Moon Griffon.
That's it. And I'm looking forward to talking to him. Here's my thing. Moon going to support me. I can't put words in his mouth, but Wolfpack for life. I think I got him.
I bet you do. Randy and Zach. Moon, by the way, is a nice man. Randy and Zachary. Good morning, Randy. You're on with Sid Edwards.
Good morning, Coach. Good morning, Jim. Coach, my question to you is, I heard you say that we need a new prison and that we need more police officers. But I'd like to know, what are you willing to do to provide opportunities to young people to prevent them from committing crimes?
Yes, sir. Well, I'm here again, my boots are on the ground in the 70805, one of the highest crime-ridden areas. And, you know, you only have so much time on an interview. Education is gigantic in this deal. And the thing for those young people, that some of that are committing the crimes or some who might be heading in that direction, is hope and education. And Lamont Cole, our new superintendent in East Baton Rouge Parish, is going to be an absolute rock star running this school system. And I look forward, as mayor, president, to partnering with him. But education and hope.
Well, thank you, Coach. Let's do it again soon. Thank you, sir.
My honor. Enjoyed it.
And
thank
good
you.
Good luck to you. I admire anybody who gets in the arena, in athletics or in politics. And we got a guy here who's trying to do both at the same time. Good luck to you, sir. And Mary Patricia Ray.
What's up, Jim?
Hey, good to see you.
Good morning.
You got your debate face on today.
I do?
Yeah.
You look radiant.
Something about politics just brings out the
well, you know,
the pep in your step.
When you get what you're addicted to, you give the appearance that you're it's not a vice for a little while, but politics is definitely a vice for me. Good thing it pays, because I'd be not doing well if I spent this much time on something that didn't pay me any money.
Well, Mary Patricia Ray of Top Drawer Strategies, who's handled an array of candidates, but of course is best known for helping John Bel Edwards. She led the charge in 2015 when he defied the odds and won a long shot race. He prepared for a few debates with your assistants.
Oh, yeah.
Begrudgingly. What was that like?
You know, I think he, like a lot of candidates I worked with, doesn't really love to prepare. But he actually has a couple things in common, I think, with one of the people debating tonight. And that is, I think most of the lawyers that I've worked for as candidates tend to have an idea of how they would like to prepare for something like this, what kind of preparation works for them. You know, he wasn't much of a mock debater, but we would work on how we could get the best one-liners into answers. You know, you anticipate what kind of questions you're going to get, and you know, at the very least, your goal is to get these particular little, you know, little vignettes into your answers. But both candidates for tonight have disclosed supposedly how they're preparing, and it's two vastly different preparation methods. Former President Trump says he's not preparing.
That's what he says.
And former prosecutor Vice President Harris says she's doing mock debates,
well,
full lights, makeup, wardrobe, all of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can be overprepared, too.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
You remember that Farm Bureau debate in 2015?
I do. Yeah. I remember them all.
Yeah.
I remember them all.
That one was one that was interesting, and John Bell did well, and he got the candidate by his own admission that he wanted, and David Bruce Bitter. And to show you how Baton Rouge has evolved into a blue parish, I was looking the other day, he got 68% of the votes in East Baton Rouge Parish against David Bruce Bitter. 68%, a Democrat.
You know, I saw Senator Bitter this weekend.
Yes.
At an event, and it just struck me, you know, I'm coming up on 10 years next year since that election. And he is so kind and gracious to me every time he sees me. And, you know, I know a lot of people have opinions about former elected officials, but I really am so struck because, I did a lot of things in that race that were my job to do that weren't kind.
You found out about the vote he missed.
It was definitely my job, and he was seeing his friend. Yeah, it was my job to draw a contrast between the candidates, and it really gave me no pleasure to do it in a way that, you know, look, people have children, they have lives, and politics to me is not a game. It's real life, and it's real life for the people in it. But, it just strikes me every time I see him, he's really so gracious to me.
I think losing that race was liberating for him, and it's worked out well. He's done exceptionally well as a lobbyist, and his wife is a federal judge, and they're still together. And for those who take shots at him for his extracurriculars, he kept his marriage together, something that many politicians don't, including former President Trump, who's been married 3 times and has more divorces than all the other U.S. presidents put together.
We all have some hypocrisy, and some of us are brave enough to run for office and let it become public.
And Vitter, he had redeeming qualities. He had over 100 town hall meetings when he was a U.S. senator, and that's kind of gone by the wayside. And that was a good way to prepare for debates.
Yeah, well, now we have these town halls that people do that are on Facebook or Zoom, where it's completely curated. There's no actual organic question that gets asked. And I curate them for people, so I know. Like, we'll take a question that's really nasty and keep the same subject matter, but rephrase the question. I mean, it happens all the time.
Patrick in Innisfail Estates. Patrick, you're on with Mary Patricia Ray. Hi, Patrick.
Hey, I know that Kamala Harris is probably going to know the questions.
Kamala.
Okay, she's going to know about the questions because Donna Brazile works for ABC and she gave away the questions last time. But
it was one question to Hillary, okay, and it was a dumb thing to do. But I doubt that. I doubt that Kamala will know the questions. But please continue, Patrick.
Okay, do you think Harris's team, by hiding her, that tactic has paid off, because now she's not really prepared? She's only done one interview. It was a disaster.
All right. I don't know that it was a disaster.
Well, I think the nature of Patrick's question demonstrates something really important about tonight's debate. Yeah. And that is that Kamala Harris is going to enjoy the largest gender gap of any person who's ever run for president in the history of the United States of America. And tonight, Donald Trump has one job only, and that is to speak to women in a way that doesn't make them not like him. That's all that the guy has to do to win the debate. And I'm not sure that he's going to be able to do it. And the reason I say his question demonstrates that is Patrick's question seems to belie the point that somehow it would be an advantage for her that she needs to know what the question is. I think she's probably very prepared for this debate, as a former prosecutor knows how to argue with someone in a way that is effective and doesn't need to know what the questions are in order to win.
All right, 877-217-5757. Back after this. This is Jim Engster, the last quarter hour with Mary Patricia Ray, prudent political strategist, and tonight the biggest names in the business will be in the city of brotherly love, where there will be very little love and a lot of, potentially volatile exchanges between Kamala Harris and Donald John Trump. Kamala Devi Harris, by the way. Kamala's 59, almost 60, and Trump is 78. Kamala's 5'2", black Asian woman from California, and Trump is about 6 feet tall. Says he's 6'3", but more like 6 feet tall, and is a rotund white male from Gotham City. So look out. The show comes tonight at 8 o'clock. You'll hear it right here on WRKF live. And Mary Patricia and others will be listening, and we'll be opining tomorrow about what happened. But right now, the stakes are high, and I think Kamala Harris has to be fully aware of this, Mary Patricia, because she saw what happened to Joe Biden. John in New Road says, women love to hate other women. So
I think you're right, John. But the polls tell me that the gender gap that Kamala's enjoying is historic. And also that Trump is making a slight comeback in some swing states right now. And so, yeah, the stakes are really high tonight. And I agree with you. Women are very threatened by other women that are successful. But that's an age-old problem. And in this case, women are just not enthusiastic about voting for Donald Trump. So the permission system for them to stay home or vote for Kamala is very dangerous for Trump. He has got to address it soon.
James and Metairie. Hello, James. You're on Talk Louisiana with Mary Patricia.
Well, hello, Jim, and hello to your guest. You know, the lies being spread by the Trump world, Haitians in Ohio killing and eating cats and ducks, and then the largest law enforcement organization in the country endorsing a convicted criminal and a man who led a mob that injured at least 170 police officers. The world is just on fire with insanity, Jim. Thank you.
All right, James. Well, don't do anything dangerous, James.
You know, to his point, so I'm in a bar the other evening, bar room, respectable establishment, and I'm having a conversation with a man, and he thinks that he's kind of like gigging me a little bit, you know, having a little conversation with me. And apparently he thought it wasn't going well for him, so he started telling me how beautiful I am. You're so pretty. You're so pretty. And I ask his friend that's with him, I'm like, what's wrong with this guy? Why does he keep telling me I'm pretty? Because he's losing the argument, and he's hoping to distract you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that these things, these weird conspiracy theory lies about cats and dogs or whatever, that's what you do when you are losing an argument, is distract people from the loss. And it's pretty effective, though. You know, you have an audience that wants to hear those things and wants to hear how beautiful they are and hear all these crazy things about the cats. Well, then they probably will fall for it.
There you go. Jason in Jones Creek says, who came up with the line in Governor Edwards' campaign to David Vitter when he said...
This is such a good
story. That's where you live, Senator.
Well, I like that that's where you live. I thought he was going to ask about not as interesting as your date night, Senator.
Yeah, that was probably a Mary Patricia...
You know what? Yes. Actually, me and Sam Jones and Jared Arsamaw were sitting with then State Representative Edwards preparing, and we were we had been attacked about some purple party bus event or something that we had done. You know, like it was meant to be a distraction. And he said, Governor Edwards, remind us. I took my wife to that event. Like there was nothing untoward about it. You know, So I saw the wheels turning then in that moment. It was like the day before that debate that I think that line kind of, and then frankly, Senator Vitter just handed it to him because he said something about like, well, that, because John Bell said, I took my wife to kind of tamp it down. And unfortunately he walked right into it because he said, well, that's an interesting date night. And then John Bell, of course, was able to say, not as interesting as your day. I mean, and it was at the Dunham School, and it went, whoa, the live crowd went absolutely nuts. I was in the green room in the back, and it was like, whew, man, what a punch.
What a punch to the gut. 877-217-5757 is your number, and there may be a few gut punches tonight, and we'll see. Let's go to James in Longview, Texas. James, good morning. Nice to hear from you, my friend, in the Lone Star State.
Well, good morning, Jim. Nice to hear you, too. Anyhow, I just want to ask you both about tonight's debate. It's unlikely that this gesture would happen, but what would you make if President Trump would extend a hand to shake hands with Ms. Edwards, Ms. Harris, and where it would kind of illustrate the height difference, and it might kind of illustrate an unexpected friendly gesture? What do you think would happen?
You know, I hadn't given much thought to what it's going to look like when they walk on stage, but I would expect they're going to shake hands. And I would expect that she's going to do it without fear or hesitation. You know, they're both going to be performing. But
they've never met, by the way.
Because they are muted when they're not speaking, I think it's going to, and there's no live audience, I think this is going to be a really weird, flat debate that doesn't have a lot of, like, heavy excitement. And I think she's smart enough to know not to talk when her mic is muted because she's going to look weak, and that he's going to keep trying to talk when his mic is off and kind of look weird.
877-217-5757 for Mary Patricia Ray. David in Atlanta. Hello, David. From the swing state of Georgia.
Good morning. Well, you know, I think Trump cannot control his own emotions. Trump is Trump's worst enemy. I think we're going to see Trump explode and self-destruct tonight, because any attacks on him, I think he can only respond by viciously attacking his attacker, but we'll see.
You know, he has a ceiling, and Kamala has room to grow. So if I was him, my main goal in this debate would just be to hold on to what I have. I wouldn't be trying to do too much more than that. So it's hard for him to make mistakes that cause him to lose votes because his ceiling is almost the same as his floor. He doesn't lose votes when he, quote, makes mistakes. I mean, he can say things that I can't say on the radio and still maintain his base. So, you know, like I was talking to somebody, well, what's a mistake for Trump? I think just any mistake that makes women uncomfortable with him is a mistake, and that it won't show up in the polls that he made a mistake for a couple weeks. You know, he can say whatever he wants and people just follow him over the cliff. So, you know.
Well, it is tricky when it's a man and a woman for both. A woman often gets criticized for taking on a man, and a man certainly gets criticized for taking on a woman. So they're both walking a little bit of a tightrope here.
Yeah. I mean, look, performing your gender in politics is difficult. It's hard. It's hard work because you have to try to appeal to people who don't think like you about gender, about the way that a man and a woman should behave. I mean, look, I've been working in politics for 20 years. There's a reason that I don't travel with my male candidates. I don't get in the car with a candidate that I'm working with by myself and go somewhere to an event. Yeah, because people are people's machinations over what does that mean. It's just it's an unwarranted risk, you know?
Well, Mike Pence would not be in the same room with a woman without another person present.
Yeah, well, Mike has weird proclivities, but you know, I mean, like you don't invite unforced errors when it comes to how people think about sex and think about gender. And it is difficult to be a woman that is likable, and it's difficult to be a man against a woman that is likable. I think the men probably have the advantage there because they've been doing it pretty successfully since the invention of the plow meant that women have to stay home and take care of the kiddos. We've pretty much been at a disadvantage.
Patricia in Magnolia Woods. Patricia, you're on with Mary. Patricia.
Hey, good morning. My favorite candidate forum ever was John Bel Edwards and David Vitter at one put together by Together Louisiana, where people from the organization asked them questions. They could not attack each other. They were just supposed to answer the questions. Will we ever see another forum like that? Thanks.
I mean, I hope not. I mean, not that we don't want to have those kind of policy conversations, but I think that the American people need to see how someone responds when they're being attacked. I think it's really important for that to be demonstrated on live television. That's the point of these debates, is for someone to attack, to have a criticism that's warranted and factual, and then see, can this person handle being criticized? That's their job. The president's job is to be criticized. That's what you're running for.
Well, one of the great political operatives of all time, Mary Patricia.
Oh, I don't know about that. It's a fun job.
You're the heir to Mary Olive Pearson.
My uncle says he loves your West Virginia reference earlier, by the way. He's crossing the bridge into West Virginia.
But Mary Olive Pearson.
An MP, yeah.
Yeah, she.
What a legend and an example of how I hope I live my life as a woman in the industry I'm in, on my own terms.
Well, she did it her way.
Yes, she did.
She had 80 great years and got in the arena a few times.
Oh, man.
And I don't think she ever won an election, but she ran a few times.
You know what? I think she won more than that. And I'm so thankful for women like her who came before me, because it gave me permission to be myself at work and to be as smart as I want to be and as vocal as I want to be and to just do things my way.
I used to work in the building with the late, great lawyer Sam D'Amico, and years ago, Louis Unglesby was working for him, and this was before I knew Sam or Louis, but Louis is right out of law school, and Mary Patricia's advertising for a judgeship, and she's on black radio making these statements, and Louis went to the station, bought the ad, and put it on country stations and news talk stations in like 1970-ish Baton Rouge. And she lost in a landslide. Played at the same spot, the exact same spot with Mary Olive Pearson, paid for by Hawk Daniels.
I mean, that's amazing. You know, and that's what I'm talking about. A couple people have told me some really great stories about her in the past day since we heard she passed that just illuminate for me that she was just unapologetically herself.
Well, we'll see what happens tonight. And of course, we'll have Mary Patricia back soon, we hope. And until tomorrow, stay safe and stay tuned.